Straight down the middle.
This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at ML on WLXG. Ask questions or comments on what you'd like Matthew to talk about on the show. Today's show is sponsored by French Lick Resort, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Play Golf Lexington, and by Edwin Watts Golf. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Backspin Golf. We have a terrific show today. My buddy Dan Hauser is going to join me from Florida, the semi-regular correspondent of Backspin Golf, in a very funny conversation. He's always funny. He's great. We have a lot to talk about with him. Perry French, of course. Also, some great drills for you will be coming up. Short game stuff, which I've already tried one of them, and it's terrific. So we'll talk to him about that. And our buddy Dave Harner, the director of golf operations up at French Lick Resort, will also join us and tell us about all the things going on up there. Real quickly, by the way, I love, as I said last week, I love this two-man Zurich event, two-man teams. It's awesome. And it'd be really great if all the top players were there. But we got a lot going on with that. So let's see what happens today. Finally, excuse me, Ben Crane, if you didn't see this, Ben Crane on the tour had a putting contest with Daniel Berger in Phoenix where he lost $6,000, didn't pay it. And Tom Gillis, who has been on tour for a while, called him out on Twitter for not paying the $6,000. Daniel Berger heard about it. It turned into a huge thing. So if you think these guys are just out there practicing for their round that day, $6,000 on the putting green before one of their tournament rounds. I'm going to do that next time I play. All right, we'll be back. Loaded show again. It's Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Now, joining Matthew on Backspin Golf is Perry French, PGA professional and territory manager of Strixon Cleveland Golf.
Perry French, Perry French, Perry French, Perry French, Perry French. Hi, Perry French.
Good morning. There you go.
There I go. Yeah. You miss it when you don't hear it.
Yes, I know I'm ready for the show.
This is like the little. It's almost like warm Jason up. Day standing behind the ball, closing his eyes, yes. Visualizing his
nice.
Shot.
Yes.
When you hear me do that, it's time for you to get ready and be good.
Get ready to hit the shot.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Then you will walk into the segment on the show and hit the shot right down the middle.
Down the middle. You have to visualize
312.
That shot.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that's a great point to what we're going to talk about today. And
this is going to be
that,
awesome.
Some different things that best players in the world, their best practices for preparing why they practice and why they play. And I think that's a perfect segment as to, you know, why does Jason Day do that? Well, it's for a reason.
Right.
If he didn't do that, would he be as good as he is? And the answer is probably not.
Right.
I mean, it's his sense of focus for that 30, 40 seconds that is his turn to play, hopefully then 40 seconds.
Yeah.
And that brings it all into focus for him and allows his mind to get into position to let the things that he's practiced all those hours to come through in that 2.3 seconds of what is a golf shot.
He has said, I mean, obviously he'd been playing for a long time before something clicked and he took off.
Yeah.
That is the main thing, and he's talked about it, is visualization. Obviously, he's got the technique and the talent.
No question.
Right.
But
so do a lot of guys.
Absolutely. There's all those things, the components of what brings it all together. And that's where the best players and the better players around in your foursome or in their group are doing things that are helping them get better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just going to the range and hitting balls for 5 hours.
Right.
That's certainly not going to hurt you. But what if you go to the range for 5 hours and you're practicing the wrong thing.
Right.
You're not, you know, you're drilling in the bad
stuff. And again,
stuff
you're looking right at me when you
table.
Do this.
And I think that's where players get, they I'm practicing, I'm not getting any better.
Right.
And I think that's a frustration. People that say, can you get it from the driving range to the first tee? And a lot of it's, well, I do will run the driving range, but I don't go to the first tee and have any success. Well, there's the reverse of that, right? People will not do well on the driving range, and they go to the golf course and they play okay. They get around the course.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it's concentration. Part of it's that readiness for, you know, when you focus in on that shot that's in front of you.
Right.
Some people are just more in tune to that. They get bored with practicing. They do things that, you know, after 15 minutes, it's I don't want to do this again, and they're just really just wasting time.
And here you've talked to me enough about this. When you're hitting balls to warm up, step behind the ball. Do your routine every time. Now, I'm a perfect example. I'll do that for 10 balls.
Yeah.
And then I get tired of doing it, and then I stand next to it, and I start just hitting balls.
And that's okay in a warm-up session. I think more I was referring to if you're practicing.
Right.
To
if you're really working on something.
You know, when you're warming up, it's what you're trying to do. It's time constraint, probably.
Right.
You're trying to get your body loose and just get some sense. I like the ball off the tee, just to get some swings to get yourself from not chunking into the ground and getting that, create some better visualization.
Yes.
And then hit some wedge shots to get that feel and sense of how your grip pressure is and that kind of stuff. But I think these things that we're going to talk about today, it's an article I caught in Golf Magazine, and I thought it was really, it happens to focus on the short game.
Yes.
Oh, surprise.
Shocked.
And this is where the best players have found that, you know, when they were struggling in a certain facet, or how to stay as good as they are.
Right.
Because one of the players is Zach
Maintaining.
Johnson.
Maintaining.
Zach, you know, how did he get to be as good as he did? Well, he focused on the short game, but he also had a regimen or a way to find his best practices to get that good.
Okay, let's go through some of these.
First one's a putting one. It's pretty simple. I mean, we've all seen people who putt the ball and they struggle with distance control. You know, they're fine from 5 feet, or maybe not. Maybe they hit the ball too firm or too soft, and their pace is off. You know, certainly part of distance control is where most putters, certainly at the tour levels, and when the surfaces are fast as they are, and you know, it's about speed control. And certainly as you get farther from the hole, I liked a few drills where you put the balls in stages. You start at 3 feet, six feet, 9, 12, and 15. We've heard the Mickelson circle drill where he tries to make, you know, 3 footer and 5 footer, and he keeps going. Mm-hmm. And if he misses, he pulls back and starts again. Those are great drills to do to get yourself in that focus. And we see Mickelson do that before he plays a lot. He does the, you know, around the circle. And this is a drill that Stacey Lewis has done, and it's really for speed control, which I think is great because, again, lag putting and just...
We're trying to avoid three putts.
Yeah, and that's the trying to avoid is not the way you should approach it, right? It's trying to improve your pace so that you have a shorter putt. And
that's
mostly
what
happens. Yeah, you go. Let's focus on the positive.
Okay,
so
all right,
it's
okay,
a one-handed drill. It's pretty simple. She literally putts with one hand on the putter. She's a right-handed player, so she has her hand in the right hand, and she works the right hand to stroke the putt. There's nothing more than that. Actually, but going to the putting green, and rather than put two hands on the putter and your normal grip or changing your stance and doing something that you think you need to do to become better, practice something that will develop pace control and speed control. And this is just putting with one hand. So you just vary your distances and hit some putts. Do it for 15 or 20 putts and then change and put both hands in the putter and do the same putt and see how it's translating and get your mind
now,
to set into that sense of
is
feel.
Is there a reason why she's right-handed? She's using her right hand. Is there a reason? Could you do with your left hand?
Yes. And that's, again, each player has their own set of preferences. You can do it with both. Which one are you best with?
Right.
Right? Hit some with your right hand on it only, then hit some with your left hand. And again, that's a practice.
Mm-hmm.
That's a, you know, we call it drilling. And,
right.
And that's where players find a different sense of feel.
Mm-hmm.
And as an instructor, I can't understand what your feel is. I can ask you how does that feel, and you know, and but I'm not in your body. I don't know what your definition of a soft grip and what mine are, two different things.
Right.
But it all comes together with success. And when you put success in shots and you apply that grip pressure work for this shot, much like a certain stance work for certain shots. And again, in the short game, we get so much variation of the type of shots we have to hit. It's not a stock 7-iron from 155. So this is a great starting drill.
Okay.
The next one is Lucas Glover.
Okay. U.S. Open champion.
U.S. Open champion. And the neat story about this is really, it's quite, his instructor at the time, Dick Harmon, the famous Harmon brothers, who unfortunately Dick passed away way too early. He had him hit bunkers shots with one hand. Now, this is hard. But
I have
it's
a hard time with
be,
too.
But it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you learn how to do this, and what it causes you to do is it causes you to learn how to bottom the club out and get the bounce in play. Too many players get too steep with their angle of attack, catch it too close to the ball or catch all ball, mm-hmm. and we got a screamer going across the green. Hmm. That is where players
I've
struggle with.
That.
And it's your angle. So I could say it looks like a V. That's
right.
Incorrect. If your swing is very steep and you have a very small margin where the club actually will impact into the ball or the turf, mm-hmm. With this one-handed move, you learn how the club releases and shallows out
wow.
and bombs out. And ironically.
And this is the right hand for right-handed players.
This is the right-handed for right-handed. Do
right.
it with the one hand. You
yes.
don't use the lead hand.
Right.
Because, again, we're trying to, we always hear that on TV, get that bounce. They talk about the thump. This mm-hmm. is how you achieve that. If you don't practice this way, how do you know what it feels like? And you say, well, I hit 50 shots. I didn't hit one good. I understand that. Maybe, but do it again.
Right.
You know, if at first you don't succeed, suck till you do succeed, you know. That's what happens. That's, you know, you've got to do that. And that's why practice is what it is. So give yourself a chance to understand the feel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is what a really good player did.
That's awesome.
Ironically, he won his first tournament on the tour by holding out a bunker shot to win on the
37th. There you go.
72nd hole.
There you go.
So those hours of practice and this drill turned into a life-changing event for him. Of course, he went on to become a U.S. champion.
Right.
It makes
awesome.
Sense.
Okay.
The next is Zach Johnson. Zach is certainly more profound in his short game than most and proficient at it. And we've
yes.
seen him hole out to beat Tiger, you know. And
we've seen him lay up in Masters, not go for par fives, and win Masters.
And because why? Because he focused on what his strength would
right.
be. He knew that putting the ball in play and giving himself that 40 to 120-yard shot
mm-hmm.
was going to be his weapon of beating the players who are overpowering. Can't
right.
do anything about it physically.
Right.
If a guy hits a ball 50 yards, doesn't mean you're automatically going to lose to him. You've got to play the golf course and play it properly.
Right.
So what he does, this is called the knockout distance control. And then we talk about distance control with wedges, much like putters.
Yep.
If you have a 52-yard approach shot and you got to carry it 48 yards, you better learn how to carry it 48 yards. Launch monitors and those are using, that's where DJ's improved his game.
Right.
They use those to actually understand what carry distance is and really apply that practice to the distance control. Well, he did this long before launch monitors were in vogue. And so he basically just takes, 20 to 120 yards. I mean, he hits all shots with this. This is not just a certain shot. And again, that's because you're playing your wedge. But he basically just takes a spot that he's going to pick the ball to land,
mm-hmm.
much as you, when you're playing all kinds of shots, you have to have a landing spot
right.
relative to all the things that are the release of the shot. And so he basically just tries to have the ball, one shot goes out there, and then the next is the knockout drill. He's trying to knock that ball with his next approach
wow.
shot. So he when he hits it and it goes another distance, he's trying to hit the next ball. So when the ball
awesome.
Sprays. So it does two things. It helps, obviously, mindset to change another distance because on one hole you have a 15-foot carry bunker shot or a pitch shot, and the next
right.
time it's a 15-yard shot or
mm-hmm.
30-yard shot. It keeps him engaged.
I was going to say, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's fun.
Right.
Do it with a buddy,
mm-hmm.
you know. And those are the kind of things that you're practicing, but you're having fun doing it. And it also puts competition in play.
Right.
It's a sense of bringing in the focus.
There's something at stake here.
Bringing in the focus.
Right.
And that's when you're playing golf, when you're having a conversation and enjoying the round with somebody, and it's all of a sudden your turn to hit a shot, you've got to be able to gather that 15
mm-hmm.
to 30 or 45 seconds and do the shot with in the concentration and pace of play, and you want to be successful. This is how you train yourself to be successful when you're playing golf.
Right.
And that's the one thing as a club pro when I was at a club and playing a lot of member golf, we'd play fun games, you know, we'd have teams and stuff, and I'd be talking, maybe giving a little tip here and there, and you know, but when it was my turn to play, I wanted to hit a good
Zoom.
Shot. Had to pull in that 30
right.
or 45 seconds and you know, pick the right club and that's what you do. That's why you go quiet. That's why you
right.
give yourself a chance. So this is a great drill from one of the best short game players in the last 15 years.
All right. Those are great.
Yeah. That's it's
By
a
the
fun way,
way
to start.
Before we get out of here. So really quickly, I had a great gap wedge.
Yeah.
Strixon gap
yeah,
wedge
yeah.
that I got from you, as all my clubs are Strixon. And I left it somewhere.
So no one else has a nice gap. Right?
Well, and here's the thing, people. If you're listening, I know all of you do because our listeners have integrity.
Right.
Return it. If you find a club, take it back to the pro shop. Don't take it home.
Even if it's a day late, it ends up in your bag.
Right.
Just, you know, bring it
don't
back to where you
home.
Played golf.
Like somebody did with my gap wedge. Anyway, so I told you, I need a new gap wedge. I want a new gap wedge. And you, I got one from you. And I played with it last week. And I even texted you in the middle of the round. Because
Well, we switched it, right? We switched from the set gap wedge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we went to the RTX 50-degree cavity back. That is our performance wedge. Not that the one you had wasn't good.
Right.
This is going to provide a different level of feedback to you as a player in performance than a standard gap
All I can
wedge.
Tell you is the first, every time I hit it in that round, which was probably five or six times, from anywhere from 70 yards to 95 yards, perfect. I mean, perfect. A lot of confidence. I hit that. It's a good thing I didn't swing it the first one and do something weird.
Well, that's true.
But just the feel, they're fantastic. It's great. Well, I chipped with it.
Glad you're enjoying that. And, you know, keep working on your short game. Practice that exact Johnson drill.
Thanks, Perry Tron.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play golf, Lexington.
Well, once again, here on Backspin Golf, you know, anybody can talk or write about leaderboards and, you know, specific golf things. But I'm thinking weird. And when I think weird, the guy that pops into my head is Dan Houser, as he's joined us many times on the show. And this is what Backspin Golf is about. It's about golf, but also some weirdness. And so joining us again from down there in FLA, what's the area code down there?
Mine is 33458. Oh, the zip code, the area code 561. We're at the 561 down here.
Yeah, okay. That's what I wanted to say. I don't care about your zip code. Joining us from the 561, the senior writer and editor for Country Clubs in Florida. You can check that out at countryclubsinflorida.com. Also, he's a contributor to Lynx Magazine and many other things. He's a Reds fan. We could talk about that, too. Dan Houser, my guy. What's up, Dan?
Let's get weird, man. How's it going?
It's going well. I want to talk a little about the Zurich Classic, which I love. I love this two-man team thing. I wish there were more of it during the year, but I want to start off weird. And you wrote a great thing. You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Houser, Hauser Golf, about, I don't know if our listeners saw this, chances are they did. Talk to us a little about the whole golf balls in the hash browns thing that is just funny to me. Of course, I didn't need it. I didn't need any.
I don't know how this happened, but the company out there who sells the, you know, they have make the hash browns that you buy in the freezer section, you know, at the local grocery store, and they came out the other day and said they had to recall a couple types of them because they were afraid that there were golf balls mixed in, chunks of golf balls mixed in with the hash browns. I mean, listen, I know there's a lot of different ways you can have hash browns, you know, kind of, you know, Waffle House is kind of targeted that market. You can get them smothered and covered. Some people like them with a little ketchup. Some people do a little hot sauce on them. But I don't know anyone that asks for their hash browns to be chopped up with little provies in them, you know? That's a first.
All right. Now, you wrote a very funny thing about it, but did we do any checking on this? See, here's what I need to do. I want to call that company and ask them how golf balls got into frozen hash browns. How does it?
What they said is that it got harvested in with the potatoes when the potatoes grew out of in the ground, and when they were getting chopped up to go into the bags, that somehow pieces of golf balls ended up in there as well.
All right. So what they're saying is somewhere on their potato farm, wherever they get their potatoes, somebody or numerous people are like standing on their back porch hitting wedges or eight irons into this potato field, and a big mechanical thresher thing comes and harvests, and there were golf balls in there. That's what I'm thinking.
I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. I mean, I don't know where their potato farm is. Maybe it's off the, you know, maybe it's off the eighth tee box there at up in one of those courses up in Minnesota or something. I don't even know where potatoes are harvested anymore these days. But yeah, that's basically what it sounds like.
All right, I seriously, just this discussion, I just looked at it and thought it was funny and weird, and you know, so I thought we'd talk about it. But now that we've talked about it, today I'm going to make a couple of phone calls to this company and have somebody actually give me an answer to this, because this is unbelievable. It's just unbelievable.
Get that investigative journalism hat on.
Yeah. I played lawyers on TV. I know how to dig for facts.
there you go.
All right. Let's talk about the Zurich in New Orleans, which has been there for a long time, but it's always been a stroke play event. I think I saw that the last two-man team event was in 1981.
Yeah, they used to have them down in Orlando a lot in that quote-unquote fall season.
Yeah. You, and I think it was you that put a whole list up of the, 1916, I think, was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So explain to people listening how this works in this event.
Okay, so it's going to be a 72-hole event, just like all the other tour events. It's going to be the same type of scoring. However, it's going to be two-man teams, and they're going to play two rounds of alternate shot and two rounds of four ball.
Right.
And so there's 80 teams in total, so that's 160 golfers total. I don't remember off the top of my head. I want to say I believe it's the top 35 teams.
Yes.
Size, I want to say.
Yeah.
We'll make the cut heading into the weekend. And then here's the interesting little thing here. The winning team, they will receive full FedEx Cup points. They'll receive full winner's shares. In terms of money-wise, they will not receive official World Golf ranking points, though, and they will also not receive a Masters invite. But they'll, as a winner, they'll still get that two-year exemption, and they'll still get the invitations into all the other exemptions,
right,
and all the other tournaments that a winner will normally get, including all the invitationals, the Players, Jack's Tournament, Arnie's Tournament, mm-hmm. Colonial, and the PGA Championship announces that they will give an exemption to the winning team as in the championship category, so both people who won, if they weren't already exempt for the PGA Championship, will be invited to that. So basically, the winner will get everything that they normally would get in a normal event, minus that Masters invite.
And the World Golf Ranking, which who cares?
Yes.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You know, if they're getting that two-year exemption, they're going to be on the tour long enough that they can get their World Golf Ranking
right.
Anyway.
All right. So here, again, because I'm talking to you, normally I don't think this way, but when I talk to you, I think weird things. Here's what I'm thinking. So if I'm a guy that's friendly with somebody on tour that's really hot, and I'm not playing that well, I'm going to get in this event with him. I'll beg him to take me as his teammate, and then have him carry me through the 4 days, and if he wins, I get all the bonuses. And I may not have
Absolutely.
To do anything.
And there's a situation that's going to be interesting to watch that could actually play out like what you just mentioned. Now, Brooks Koepka, obviously, was a hot up-and-comer on tour. His brother, Chase,
right.
who is kind of followed in his older brother's footsteps, he's actually playing on the European Challenge Tour right now. Brooks Koepka was invited to play in the tournament, and he asked and was granted special permission to allow his brother to play on his team. Now, his brother holds no status in this country pretty much whatsoever. He plays on the European Challenge Tour,
mm-hmm.
and the tournament granted him a sponsor's invite. So, yeah, you could see exactly something like that. The two of them could get hot over 4 days, and you could have Chase Koepka, who has no status over here on any tour, all of a sudden be a full-fledged PGA Tour member with a win this week. Or a top 10 finish, in theory, would get him invited to the next week following those PGA Tour rules as well.
You know, this is it's funny because that was one of the questions when I first saw the teams. I had a friend of mine ask me, who's Chase Koepka? And something happened, and I didn't get a chance to look it up, so I'm glad you answered that for me. But I will now be rooting really hard for that team, really hard, because that'd be great.
That would be the coolest story, and that would really epitomize the entire theory behind this team event. Is you get guys in there that might not normally be able to get it a chance like this, and all of a sudden you get a hot couple days, and boom, you're on the PGA Tour. I mean, how cool would that be?
Yeah,
for a story,
be awesome. All right. Well, we'll certainly follow that along. Give me a couple of other teams. See, the great thing, we're talking with Dan Houser of Country Clubs in Florida and Links Magazine. talk to me about a couple of the other teams. The great thing is these guys got to pick who they wanted to play with, which mm-hmm. never happens. And so there are some pretty cool two-man teams in this event.
Yeah, we've got some power teams. You got Ricky Fowler and Jason May are
yep.
teaming up. You've got Henrik Stenson and Justin Rose are teaming up.
Look out.
Jordan Spieth and Ryan Palmer are teaming up. What you're going to see a lot this week is you're going to see a lot of kind of themes in terms of these teams, whether it's guys that played for the same college, guys that are from the same state, guys that live in the same area now, guys that were friends growing up. But you're also going to see some teams where you're going to look at these, kind of scratch your head and say, how is that one happening?
For yeah. example,
Bryson DeChambeau and Rory Sabatini.
All right. Now, right there.
I'm trying to figure out how that one happened.
Yeah, you know? Right, I mean, there. Weird.
Yes. Well, you said you wanted to get weird, right?
There's, yeah, there's that's it. Right there.
Get weird, right?
Yep. Yep. It's just going to be really fun to watch.
The only bummer thing is that all the spring break guys are playing this week, but none of them are teamed up. I thought that would have been really cool if we could have had some of those SBK guys playing together, whether you had JT and Ricky, or you had JT and
Jordan
and Spieth or yeah. Smiley or any of those guys. But unfortunately, none of those four are gonna play with each other. They're all gonna play with other friends of theirs they have out there on tour.
Yeah, well, they just hung out, you know, on spring break again.
Yeah,
they don't need to.
Exactly,
they're
right?
Sick of each other, probably.
They're
now.
Sick of each other by now.
Meanwhile, that spring break thing is one of my favorite things in sports. Period.
Oh, it's great.
I saw, just to finish up with you. Lexi Thompson had her first press conference since that horrendous thing that happened to her with her ball mark and a guy emailing in and all that. And you talked about it on Twitter. It was very emotional watching her. It really, really made me sad.
Yeah, it was definitely tough to watch yesterday. Obviously, she kind of doubled down on that hole. She didn't do it on purpose and didn't, you know, know she was doing it. And she even kind of went into a little bit of an explanation saying, hey, you know, normally I wouldn't even kind of mark that putt because it was so close, but I hit a really bad putt, and walking up there, I kind of thought back to what my dad used to tell me when I was growing up, and it was like, you know, you lose your concentration, you let it slip, or you stay angry, and you can sometimes miss those putts. So I picked the ball up and put the mark down and try to compose, you know, regain mm-hmm. my thoughts, and I wanted to line the dot up that I have on the ball up there, and I just, you know, I wasn't thinking that I didn't put it down, you know, in the same spot, basically. And, you know, so it's a tough spot because obviously by the letter of the law, a rule was broken and it was not done knowingly, at least is
right.
what she continued to say yesterday. And so it's a tough spot to be in on both sides of the fence there, but it was it got emotional. Obviously she said it's been 3 weeks and she's still not really over it. I don't know if that's something you ever truly
right.
Get over. So, you know, whether it's 3 weeks, 3 years, 30 years, you know, who knows if she'll ever truly get over it. But I think, you know, that was good for her to be able to get out there yesterday and kind of talk out her thought process and kind of talk everything out, and hopefully that'll help maybe a little therapeutically in terms of her being able to at least move on for this week now.
And people always loved Lexi, and if it's possible, that love has grown and more people know about her and love her now, so we're all rooting for her. All right, Mr. Weird, you're the best. And thanks for joining me and starting our day off like this. I really appreciate it, man.
Hey, it's always a good time to talk to you, man. It's always good to get a little weird in the morning, right?
Yep. Well, I just call you every morning. We don't have to do it on the show, you know.
Go for it. Let's do it, man. We can talk golf. We can talk Reds. We can talk whatever you want.
Okay.
We'll get weird all around.
Cool. Thanks, Danny boy.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by French Lick Resort. Visit them online at FrenchLick.com.
Well, as always, and we talk about it every week, obviously, people have their favorite places to go, favorite resorts. I talk about Kearney Hill here in Lexington and a couple of my other favorite courses. But in terms of resorts, and resort golf and resort stays, I'm going to French Lick. I have the opportunity to go to a lot of places, but I'm going to French Lick because there's no place better. Joining us now here on Backspin Golf is Dave Harner, who is the director of golf operations up there. Good morning, Mr. Harner.
Good morning to you.
How are you?
Oh, couldn't be better. Couldn't be better. The sun's trying to shine, actually, this morning, so that's good. Good start.
That is good. And, you know, there are – I'm totally serious about this. There are few places more beautiful than where you're sitting right now, whether you play golf or you don't play golf, than French Lick. It's just so beautiful there.
Well, it's a special place, and, you know, there's a lot going on in French Lick, and a lot has gone on to make it, you know, a premier destination. And the strategy seems to be working. So,
as we get into here's something that I'm always curious about. As we are now, obviously, full on into the golf season, and we'll be that way until the late fall, hopefully. What's it? How long does it take after the winter to get your incredible Pete Dye course and Donald Ross and the golf courses up there into the beautiful shape that we all know them to be?
You know, this is sort of a tough year to judge because it stayed warm a lot this winter, and I'm sitting down in Florida thinking, you know, I need to get back to Indiana because golf season's going to start early. You know, mid-March we were in prime condition in both courses at the Ross and at the Dye. And, you know, since then it's been up and down weather, but the golf courses have been in great shape since March. And it's what you do in the fall that gets you ready for spring. You know, the aerification and the overseeding and, you know, putting it to bed properly has as much to do with it as anything.
Yep. Well, all anybody has to do is just go to FrenchLick.com and click on golf, and you can see how magnificent these places are. Well, I've been lucky enough to be there a number of times, thanks to you and thanks to Brendan Sweeney, who that's the only nice thing I'll say about Brendan Sweeney. I'm
through with him. Well, he's full of energy. He knocks on a lot of doors.
Yes.
Opens a lot of doors for us and does a great job.
He's awesome.
I certainly appreciate everything he does for us every day.
Yep.
You know, another, to add to your point about the website, another great place to see a lot more of the French Lick golf courses and the things that we do and have had here, from senior PGA to the Legends Championship to the PGA Professional National Championship to the NCAA Big Ten Championship, those kind of things, is our golf Facebook. It's French Lick Resort Golf, if you're a Facebooker.
Yep.
That's a great place to see thousands and thousands of great pictures.
Okay. Well, we'll certainly keep talking about that, too. Now, everybody that this is my fourth year, I think, or maybe my fifth of doing Backspin Golf, and French Lick has been along on the ride with me as a great partner. Something that I just kind of saw here, and I'd like to talk to you a little about. We know about the Dye course and the Donald Ross course. By the way, the Donald Ross course, it's the 100-year anniversary of the Donald Ross course. That's pretty cool right there.
You know, it's great that we had the restoration. You know, the course is back pretty much to the layout and design it was in 1917 when it opened. And we're doing some special things around our 100th, too.
Mm-hmm.
We have a special package called the Donald Ross Centennial Package and some other things. Our starters, our cart attendants, our shop staff are dressed in the plus fours.
Nice.
And we're trying to add just a few special touches.
Yep. I know I have friends that have been up there and take their hickories up there just to play the Ross course, and it's just fantastic over there. But there's another golf course that now everybody that goes to French Lick to play golf, we can add another day, and you have another course to play at, and it's Sultan's Run, and it's about 30 minutes away, is that right, from the resort?
Yeah, just about 30 minutes.
And tell us a little bit about that course. That's another Pete Dye, Tim Liddy did it, who was a disciple of Pete Dye, right?
Right. Of course, Tim Liddy spent a lot of time with Pete Dye here building our course. But Sultan's Run is a daily fee course over in Jasper, Indiana. And it's, you know, it's a very scenic, rolling golf course. We actually took over the management of Sultan's Run in 2014, and we managed that golf course for 2 years. And, you know, we hired a lot of good staff. Jeff Houghton, the head golf professional over there, who was in Madisonville, Kentucky for a number of years as a head professional. And then Brett Pope, a local, a native of Jasper, is their superintendent, kind of grew up in the business at Salton's Run, so he knows the personality of the greens and, you know, knows every little piece of that maintenance operation over there. And those two guys, together along with Bob Johnson and some others, do a great job with that golf course. And now, we no longer manage them on a day-to-day basis, but we do have a working arrangement with them wherein we can package them with the Donald Ross and the Pete Dye course, and we have a package called the Triple Play, where you stay two nights, play all three courses all day for one price. Then we have a double play that just includes the Donald Ross and the Salton's Run course.
That's awesome. I mean, this is, it's golf heaven up there. I actually just had a friend from Florida come up and stay for, I think, 4 or 5 days and play up there, and he had an unbelievable time. Okay, before I let you go, I have two more things I want to talk to you about. First, we have a pretty big, another of these pretty big events, the coming in, I believe it's July, right, to the Pete Dye course. It'll be on Golf Channel. It's the Senior LPGA Championship. Is that right?
Yeah, the first ever women's senior major championship will be July 10, 11, 12, held at the Pete Dye Golf Course. We'll have pro-ams on the 7th and 8th. We're looking to add to the pro-am field. We're going to take 320 players for the pro-ams. Just a great experience with some of the true legends, the true icons of women's golf.
And I've been up there, obviously, for the LPGA legends, and I'll say this: I, as you obviously do, I know a lot of pro golfers. There is nobody more fun or better to be around than the LPGA legends and seniors. They're fantastic.
Or more appreciative of the fact that they have a place to
That's
play
right.
and a venue to compete at. You know, those ladies, up until the Legends Tour came along, had nowhere to play once they reached, you know, in their 40-somethings. You know, they weren't competitive on the tour anymore. And, however, that desire to compete was still there. So hats off to Jane Blaylock and the team who put together the Legends Tour, and then now to advance their cause and LPGA get behind the senior women and you know, actually sanction a major championship for them here has been really a special thing to have happen.
It's just incredible, and for any of you listening that, I mean, they can really play. When I come up there and to do a show, I always follow some of them around and watch them on that fairly difficult Pete Dye course, and they can really play. It's good. They're so great to watch.
Granted, we don't play it at huge length. We played at about 6,100 or 6,200 yards.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of years ago, Sherry Steinhauer bogeyed the first hole and still shot 63.
I know. I remember that. I shot 63 the other day out here, Dave, by the way.
You're 14.
13. Actually, but thanks for adding that extra hole for me.
Some days more, some days less.
You know what I always say? Nobody ever asks you how many holes you played. They just say, what'd you shoot? So if I stop after 12, I can say, you know, 68 or whatever. That's always good.
You know, if I go out and do a hit and run par, I'll say I shot even today.
Now I have another idea.
Just jump out there and play one.
Before I let you go, I just want to get your thoughts on these rule changes that have been talked about. Lexi Thompson just gave a very emotional press conference. She hasn't played since the ANA and that business happened with her mismarking her ball. But I'm talking to all my PGA pros about their thinking about this. What are your feelings about, I know they're starting with some rule changes and that's good, but the whole thing about viewers calling in and emailing and using something the next day, what are your thoughts on that whole thing?
I think that if you look at the rules of golf, once you sign a scorecard, that's your score. Mm-hmm. You're accountable for that score. And I very much believe that once you sign that card, that rulings are over. Mm-hmm. That round's done.
Okay. Well, you know, that's
good. Golf's a game of integrity. The players with you are your rules officials more so than anything else, and you're your own rules official more than anything else. I just think that the whole call-in situation has just gotten out of hand.
Yes. Okay. I'm saying yes because I agree with you. Even if I didn't, I would say, but we certainly agree. Well, you're a great one, Dave, and I'll be up there.
One thing I didn't mention, too, is in addition to the senior LPGA, we do have the qualifying tour for the LPGA the week before on July 7th, 8th, 9th. We'll be hosting the Donald Ross Centennial Classic, a Symetra Tour event.
Oh, awesome.
For 144 of the up-and-coming stars of the LPGA.
Right. So, well, I'll be talking about this and all these events as I always do when we move through the summer, and I'll be up there real soon. I can't wait to walk into the pro shop and say hi to you. You're a great one, and I thank you for being with us this morning.
Well, much, much appreciated, and we look forward to having you up, and we'll feed you our special Donald Ross Centennial menu item while you're here.
Awesome. I might get some plus fours and wear them while I'm up there. That'd be great.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Well,
thank you so much.
Okay. That'll do it for another edition of Backspin Golf. All of a sudden, I turned into Walter Cronkite there. Weird. I'm possessed. Thanks to all my friends that joined us this time. Of course, Perry French, Cleveland Golf Strixon, my buddy Dan Hauser down in Florida, and, of course, Dave Harner, the director of golf operations up at French Lick Resort. I can't wait to go up there and play. There's a lot going on, so check out their Facebook page. It's French Lick Golf, I believe, and or go to FrenchLick.com and check it all out. They have great deals. 100th anniversary of the Donald Ross course. They have deals about that. Fantastic stuff going on. Of course, our partners, French Lick Resort, Edwin Watts Golf. I went over there. I got a new putter. They have just great things going on at Edwin Watts. And Lexington Parks and Rec. Ugh, Kearney, so beautiful. Got me again yesterday. And we'll be back next week, right here, 8:03 tee time at the Square Country Club. And by the way, we'll be doing Matthew and Mikey Thursday from Champions. Be out at the golf course, so every break I can practice my putting. This is Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Have a great day.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.